When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, Husker fans. Welcome to episode 278 of the Husker Football Fan Podcast. I'm Mike Harvat.
And I'm Justin Swanson.
I'm Drew Horstman.
And I'm Ben Klingeman.
We have expanded, everybody.
In today's episode, we react to a loss in Boulder, along with Ben and Drew from the Wannabe Walk-Ons.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's my part.
Yeah, I was going to say, man, like, you
totally
want me to read that you can
this
find
live,
us on the
I'm
web?
I'm already screwed up. You can find us on the web at HuskerPod.com or by searching Husker Football Fan Podcast on Facebook. You can also connect with us on Twitter by following at HuskerPod or email us at HuskerPod@gmail.com. This episode's brought to you by Central Nebraska Buffalo. Check out their website for their latest deals at cnbuffalo.com. And I got my Central Nebraska Buffalo hat on.
Very nice. We're also brought to you by Monty Rohde with Pinnacle Realty in Lincoln. Looking to buy or sell a home in Lincoln, or know somebody who is, reach out to Monty at 402-770-3356. And speaking of Central Nebraska Buffalo, how was that bison burger you had?
Super good.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you to the Herdat Sports Bar and Grill in Central Nebraska Buffalo for the collab. It was a great burger.
Yeah. It was big. It was juicy. I got all the fixings on it, so I'm
as did I. A little leaner than with the beef burger, yeah. But all the flavor.
There you go.
What more can you ask for?
well, we could ask for a lot Husker more for this win. Game, but yeah. Before we get to that,
Ben, Drew, welcome to the pod.
Yeah, thank you so much for having us.
Yeah, our pleasure. Do you guys want to tell our listeners up front here about your podcast?
Yeah, well, so we are just a pair of degenerates. We have a podcast where we react and talk about Nebraska football, but every episode we also profile a Nebraska craft brewery. We're associated with the Nebraska Craft Brewers Guild. And so we like to celebrate and, support the small businesses that create the libations that help us celebrate or get over a loss.
Yeah.
Should we need it? You know, we're big fans of everything that has to do with beer. We're big fans of everything that has to do with football.
So I tell people, if you're a Husker fan, it's a good podcast. If you're a craft brewery fan, it's a good podcast. And if you like both,
You're in heaven.
Match made in heaven.
Yeah. All right. Initial reactions, guys.
Oh, boy.
Wow. Let's cut past the pleasantries.
Yeah.
Okay.
Initially, I'm not happy.
Sad.
That's initially how I feel.
I felt really good after the first half. I thought our defense looked incredible, mm-hmm. right? And they were keeping Nebraska in the game with all the offensive miscues. And, Colorado came out in the second half. They looked a little flat. Nebraska looked like they were going to keep the score close and maybe stay in the game. And I think they just wore them out. Nebraska got worn out at the end. The defense couldn't hang, and then offense never got going. So I think there's positives to take away from this game, and we can definitely get into that.
We should.
We don't need to focus on all the negatives.
We should get some positives.
But it was definitely not the game that I expected.
No, yeah.
With the way that Colorado was able to run away in the end.
Mm-hmm. I think in that first half, though, I mean, it kind of was the game that we had hoped for, and the kind of the game plan worked in a way that was real nice to hear about kind of all week. Like, this is how we're going to go about it. What we've heard all offseason is this is how we're going to go about building and establishing a team is by, you know, first and foremost, we're going to do that and center it around defense. And then we're going to focus on the offense. It's kind of almost like, okay, now let's start focusing on the offense because that defense is holding up their end of the bargain. And, if you have a serviceable offense that's playing with fewer mistakes, I don't even think you have to play mistake-free to walk out of here winning this game, but fewer mistakes that aren't self-imposed, I think that you are more competitive at the end of this game with a less tired defense.
Mm-hmm.
Initial takeaways for you, Mike?
It's one of those things where I want to hear what you guys' positives are because I feel a lot less excited and hopeful about this season after today's game than last week. I think last week there was a lot of like, hey, it's okay. We can get this figured out. Today I'm just, man, I guess maybe it's raw because the game just ended, but I'm personally not in a great place right now, you guys.
You're with friends.
How I'm looking at this team right now, I think the thing that I keep coming back to, man, did we have to start the season playing Minnesota and Colorado? Like, how would these games have gone if perhaps Northern Illinois and was it Louisiana Tech?
Yeah.
If those were our first two games and then these two games happened, I just wonder, you know, maybe if the team had a little bit more time to settle in instead of just being thrown right into the thick of it as soon as the season started. I think I saw last week somebody mentioned this is the fifth year in a row that we started the season with a conference game.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Is that true? Wow.
Yeah, and I think it's also the first time that Nebraska's had back-to-back road games to start out a season.
Mm-hmm.
And especially to do that on a first-year head coach. And obviously when these games are scheduled, you know, 5, 6, 7 years out, you're not going to know what the coaching situation is going to be like. We probably thought when we scheduled this, we're going to be in year whatever of the Scott Frost tenure.
Rolling.
There's going to be things be rolling, and we're going to feel really good. One of the positives that I kind of take away from this game is I think that this is getting to a kind of a put-up-or-shut-up moment for Matt Rhule as a head coach, right? He preaches about accountability. He preaches about being a defensive team, a special teams team, and a team that is going to not shoot itself in the foot and make those kind of mistakes. And we're starting to see, you know, after the Minnesota game and after this Colorado game, that we're going to have to take accountability regardless of what your number is. Regardless of if you're a single-digit guy, you know, is that accountability going to be there? And he said early on in the season that he was telling some of his, the Heinrichs and the Reimers of the team, hey, you guys said you want to win right now, and so we're going to go out there and try and do that. But I'm thinking that as the season progresses, are we going to see Matt Rhule stick to who Matt Rhule is, start to play the younger guys, start to develop those guys, and we're going to see that traditional Matt Rhule year one,
right,
where it's going to be a lot of pain.
Yeah.
But I think that if that is the case, I do think that there is a positive hidden in there, that we have a coach who sticks to what he says, creates an identity, and is willing to execute on that regardless of how painful it is.
So what I'm hearing is the positive is that this will be a traditional Matt Rhule 500 first season.
But if it's, I don't
it's
know if 500 is a traditional.
The pattern is there, sub 500.
The pattern is there, and the talk of we're going to build this thing around defense and special teams, like we're seeing that. If you have an offense that can go out and execute and not make, you know, boneheaded mistakes where you just can't handle the snap,
That
you might walk away with a win here. And it looked like we were handling Colorado in the way we wanted Nebraska to go out and handle Colorado. I say we, not as myself, but as the team.
Oh, don't worry.
Yeah. I mean,
on this podcast, it's we.
I know it looks like I got on my private jet and flew here straight from the Boulder game, but I did not.
It's a fast jet, too.
It really is. It really is. Yeah, I left at half.
So did the team.
At half, there was still a game.
Oh, wow. Well,
holy cow.
I feel like this is now two games in a row where you've had a great, I'm going to say great defensive performance, at least for a while, that the offense didn't hang with. Mm-hmm. And how many times have we seen in the last number of years an incomplete team where you have one unit that's great and or two, you know, two units, including special teams. Special teams look to be better, although today you've got a missed field goal.
And he had some real rough punting, too. Bishini didn't help in the way that Bishini could have helped. His first few punts were 26 yards, were, you know, sub 30. And in a place like Boulder, you think this is where we can take advantage of that and really flip the field.
Yeah.
And
we were in the hole the whole first half in terms of field position.
Yep.
Yeah. But it's 0-0 until, 5 minutes left in the first half. And then we have a couple of those really goofy turnovers. And all of a sudden it's 13-0 and we miss field goal going to halftime. And I feel like that's where things start to get away. And the thing is, like, some of these mistakes, to be a little bit dwell on the negative for a moment here, some of these mistakes are just like high school, you know, fundamental, the snap.
Yeah.
The handoff.
Just handling the snap, having your timing
just
down.
Basic. So that was maybe the most discouraging thing for me is, you know, I guess in theory they're easily fixed. But I think I walked out. So I was at Minnesota last week. I walked out of there not feeling too bad. I'm like, you know, it's game one, a new era. Some slop, but, you know, we're going to fix that. Now I just saw some similar slop, if not a little bit more. I'm not feeling quite so good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So let me ask you guys this. What do you think of the decision to leave Sims in for the second half? Like, I think I understood it, letting him finish out the first half, but I'm going to say I fully expected a new quarterback in the second half.
I thought that's what they were going to do. There was a couple minutes left in that last drive before going in. It's like, okay, you don't want to throw in a quarterback right before the half. If they make a mistake, if they're unprepared, then you can really let this thing get away because you're only two scores down at that point.
Yeah.
And so it's like, maybe they'll get, you know, Harbaugh prepared over the half, get him ready to go. To see Jeff Sims out there, I mean, obviously, you know, Rule trusts him. It's hard to know what the other guys look like because you don't get to see him in practice. And so
he's trusted, but then I'm wondering how high is that trust level? And then like, what is the trust level for the next
going into the
guys?
Next game?
Is it a matter of like his trust level's here and it could be here, but then the next guys are even like,
we're going to find out. I know Anthony Grant, we didn't see him all game.
Yeah.
And you know, he had his fumbling issues. He had a big one in the last game and he gets the bench for the entire next game. And so, you know, with the way that Sims played in this one, you know, everything's different, you know, guy to guy, position to position, it's definitely different. So, I imagine they're going to take a really long, hard look at giving Harbaugh the start.
Well, and Sims, I don't know what's going to be wrong with his ankle, but you know, he didn't finish the game. And, so you know, maybe their hands forced a little bit there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Gabe Irvin did finish with 17 carries for 74 yards along with 26. Jeff Sims with 10 rushes for 67 yards, all but 10 of that on his one long run.
Yeah.
So, you know, he didn't have quite as many carries or yards as he did last week. They did a good job of pounding it to Gabe. I'd be curious to see what percentage of those carries were first half versus second half. I don't know if you guys have a feel for that off the top of your head.
Yeah, you know, I think most of Gabe's yardage came in that first half and then early in the second half when they started feeding him quite a bit. And then he wound up with the fumble, and I think that we saw them switch over to Ramirez.
Yeah, Ramirez was in the rest.
Yeah. I kind of want to go back to the Jeff Sims situation, and I want to look at that from, you know, last game and into this game. And in that last game, a lot of those turnovers that were on Jeff Sims, they were interceptions, right? Mm-hmm. They were decisions where he's not making the best decision, the best read. He's staring down his receivers. I thought he did a better job this game looking off guys. He was a better passer this game. And there were a few times where his receivers let him down in some crucial moments. Yeah. So I don't want to take away from, you know, Jeff Sims grew from last week to this week. Today, it was just a whole new slew of problems with those fumbles. And those are things where Nebraska fans, you know, we know about poorly handled snaps and we know about bad snaps, and we just saw it very recently in the last administration, if you will. And so to see that again and have it be something where it's the quarterback mishandling those, I mean, it's just a new list of errors. But we did see Sims respond from last week into this week and make some of those changes where he did look like a better pocket passer. He did look a little bit better, except for that interception he threw to Fedoni where he had the guy underneath just cut him off. But so I do have some confidence that Sims can respond and grow and maybe continue to evolve. I just don't know if he grows and evolves into the kind of elite quarterback that we need him to be to really drive this season anywhere beyond hopefully a 500 season or a few wins, you know, in some conference play. But I do have to, you know, give credit where there was some growth from last week to this week on that front.
And as far as game planning goes, they talked about wanting to target Kemp and Fedoni, and Kemp had 5 receptions. I'm not sure how many targets he had. Fedoni had several targets, had a couple catches and a touchdown there in the last play of the game. So that's, you know, another growth, Satterfield oriented, I guess.
Yeah. That was some good momentum we had there, right? It's almost like it fizzled out after the first half.
I thought that, again, the defense, I thought, played lights out for a while. And but when you can't get off the field, or when the offense keeps putting you back on the field, and in elevation, no less, like that catches up with
against
you.
A high tempo team. They ran, I think, over 80 plays this game. Again, wow. So
we hit the quarterback.
We did. I thought that was going to be a key to success. I
think seven sacks. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, really?
Yeah.
Oh, man. And there were a few more that they missed out on. I mean, Shadir is really good at escaping that pressure.
There were a few long passes that should have been sacks.
And so he's capable of extending plays with his legs, and we saw some of that and making those throws even under duress. But I thought Nebraska did a great job. And without Ty Robinson in for the first half, a guy like Cam Lenhart stepped in and had a really great showing, I thought, as a freshman. You know, Nash continues to impress. Blaze did really well. And then Luke Reimer, I think, had another great game. So, again, there's positives to look at.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Go ahead.
Oh, I'd say if the defense just gets a little bit of help from the offense in this game, I think that the momentum keeps rolling. They don't get gassed. They can continue to, you know, keep rotating guys in, keep guys fresh, and we have a tighter game. I don't know if we pull out a victory with how good Colorado looked once they started clicking. But I think, you know, like you said, getting these two opponents right out of the gate, it's tough. Every mistake is just compounded because you're playing against higher talented teams. And so against Northern Illinois and Louisiana Tech, if we make those mistakes, maybe we play tight games and we still come out not feeling great about it, but we probably get a win still. And so, you know, suffer our losses and hopefully the next couple of games they can get their footing underneath them on the offensive side of the ball.
Yeah. Three fumbles lost is probably the stat of the game.
Yeah.
And the timeliness of them or untimeliness of them at the end of the first half.
And just in general, you know, we always talk about penalties and turnovers. There were so many penalties in this game, but like on both teams.
Yeah,
there was so, flying everywhere.
There were, but there weren't. You know what I mean? Like there were some penalty calls that like Bushini getting ran into on that.
A no call
yeah. there. The second sideline warning. That was the first sideline warning.
Yeah.
To go an entire game and have your offensive line not be called for holding when it comes to Colorado, especially when you're seeing players like Nash hold their arm up in the air.
Yep. I mean,
there was a fair amount that was going on that wasn't being called, and the stuff that was felt real ticky-tacky.
Like an unsportsmanlike for a guy putting his arm out on the sideline.
So, you know, I don't like to dwell when it comes to what's called and what wasn't, you know, because that feels like the curse of the losing fan, right?
Oh, yeah. Where
you're just the calls just didn't go our way, and I'm glad this wasn't one of those games where there was one call that wasn't made, there was made that turned it, but there was a lot that was going on where it was like, I wonder if they took Colorado,
yeah,
you know,
yeah. So we had 6 penalties for 40 yards. They had 9 for 80.
Wow,
which I would have.
That's actually surprising.
The other way around,
I guess there was a lot of offsetting stuff.
Yeah, yeah. And I know a lot of our penalties were offsides from just a very aggressive.
Oh yeah, that's a good point.
You know, guys just jumping. So, which I'll take. Like with the way that they got after the quarterback, you get a couple of offsides trying to jump the snap and. You more than break even.
And, so. And when you think about all of those penalties, even the ones that ended up getting declined, if we had a more balanced game, if the offense was out there, maybe having some longer sustained drives where we actually put points on the board, I think you're going to have a very different game. You're going to have a defense that is fresher. That is, I just feel like that's the story right now is the offense needs to step up and help the defense out. So that we can have a more complete game.
Yeah. 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 Well, and once we get into Big Ten play, we're going to see, I think we're going to see tighter games where we line up kind of similarly, especially like the Big Ten West teams and getting into these defensive battles. And so hopefully by then our offense is able to, you know, muster 13, 15, 16 points and we can squeak out some wins.
Right.
Third down efficiency, Nebraska 4 of 13, Colorado 9 of 17.
Yeah.
So it kind of felt like last week where there were several times where it was, you know, third and 10, they got 11 yards.
Yeah. They keep getting themselves into really great positions on third down and they just can't seal the deal.
Yeah.
And so that's the defense not being able to help themselves out in that instance too. So
we had 119 passing yards. You're not going to win a game in college football in 2023. Unless you're Service Academy.
Yeah, 300 yards. Yeah, yeah, rushing.
With
119
passing yards. We had 220 rushing yards. But again, we had some drops. We had some balls in hands.
Yeah, Bullock had a big one on third down in the third quarter that cost him a possession.
Fedoni, I think, had at least one.
Yeah, Fedoni had a drop.
Yeah.
There were a couple of crucial ones on third downs that would have extended drives. And again, this is going to be a season of how much rest can we get our defense?
Yeah.
You know, how much can we keep the defense out there? Because as much as the offense feels like a liability, the defense feels like an opportunity.
Yeah.
Right. We saw that hit that happened on Shador where the ball just blooped into the air and somehow that came down for Colorado. And you think the game could turn on a play like that.
Mm-hmm.
And as this defense, you know, as blisters turn into calluses, this defense is going to be more in line with those kind of plays happening. They're going to feel more comfortable in those moments, and they're going to be, you know, ball hawks in those moments. But they've got to learn. This hasn't been a defense over the past few years that have been successful at getting to a quarterback the way they were today.
Yeah.
And so when turnovers are imminent or they're in the air and they're an opportunity, I think this defense will get more and more used to that. And again, this is one of those things that I go back to rules a man of his word. And we hope that that's what it's going to be is like, as this team progresses over this year and next year, we're going to see how this is going to evolve into Big Ten play. And I think it could fit. I really do think it could fit in Big Ten play. I just hope, you know, that it does.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he needs to get thinking long-term, he's probably going to need to get another quarterback eventually. Right. And
yeah.
we've got a long It's a long play here with Rhule. It's no need to freak out now. It's okay to be concerned.
Two games in, it's a three-year build, right?
See, everything that I was like reassuring people about last week, that's where I am today. Like all the people that are like, let's just throw it all away. We got to start over. You know, like I'm not starting over.
That's
I'm not.
What this is.
Yeah,
this
I know.
Is starting
but,
over.
But like people are already like saying, "Oh man, well, don't you regret the Rhule hire?" And no, it's like no. We're two games in.
You know, the frustration with that is that I mean, it was on full display, especially with this specific matchup. And even last week when Colorado's going up against a TCU team where a first year head coach has immediate success.
Yeah.
And we've been through first year head coaches since Solich was let go. And we think, okay, we're gonna have immediate success. We're Nebraska. We have the pedigree to pull that in. And it just takes longer here. You have to develop a style of play that fits who you're able to recruit and how you want to play and that sort of thing. So it is one of those things where I understand where fans have been, you know, we've given everything, right? Yeah. We're literally right here, right now. We came here, you had lunch, you watched the game, you're spending money, you're spending time, you're devoting these things outside of just watching the game for 2.5 hours on a Saturday. You know, it's a lifestyle.
We're doing a podcast. You're doing a podcast.
We're going to do one tomorrow.
Yeah.
Right after my wife's like, after the kid's birthday party, you can go record your show. And it's like, we have to say it so condescendingly, honey, but thank you.
Your little show.
Yeah. In the basement.
Yeah.
With you and your buddy from high school.
Is that what she says about me? Tell me little buddy.
You and your little friend.
Your little friend.
I mean, to be fair, I got a good, 4 inches and maybe a whole bill on you. So 100 pounds.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
It's all good. That's for all the visual watchers of the podcast.
Yeah.
Big audience. Hey, guys.
We'll post the video later.
Yeah. I don't know what tangent I was on, but quit panicking. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
Good life advice.
Yeah.
I think just the thought of this is a 3-year build and don't panic. Yeah.
Yeah. I think one thing, though, that Rhule kind of set himself up for to maybe catch some heat was talking about this being a year two, feeling like it's year two.
Mm. He wants to win now.
Wants to win. Players want to win now. And I understand. I'm not, faulting him for saying that.
That's what I said.
Well, we might still see 6-6. I don't know.
After the way Illinois played last night, we might see 6-6.
Yeah. Purdue's not looking good. So,
what do they always say after an early loss? All of our goals for the season are still on the table.
Still on the table. They're still
they
on
are,
the table,
but
right?
When you open up play against a division opponent,
yeah. Right. Division,
it's more
not
difficult.
Just conference,
yeah.
But division.
Yeah. But yeah, I think that he's catching some heat for that because I think it raised expectations even further. And so, you know, I could see that being an issue. The only thing that I take exception, you talk about Rhule being a man of his word. The one thing that I haven't seen is I haven't seen them stick to their offensive identity the way that they talked about it.
Oh, yeah.
And that has been a huge red flag for me as far as not long term, but as far as like this season goes, figuring out this offense and getting it rolling where it can be competitive. The fact that they weren't able to just pound the ball and run the ball here against Colorado and stick to that plan, even as we're seeing troubles with timing in the shotgun and those fumbles on the snaps to me are issues that stem from Jeff Sims struggling in the pass game. Cause he's taking his eye off the ball to try to figure out.
He's thinking too much.
He's worried about what's going on and where he's going to put the ball and what the defense is doing. And so he's taking his eyes off the snap. It all stems from his issues in the pass game. And so, I wish they would have said, hey, here's what we're going to do this game. And you can try to pick your battles here and there where you want to try to maybe take a shot or take advantage of what Colorado is doing on defense. But they never really, I never felt like they had that identity to fall back on when things got tough or when they were having issues with turnovers. And so that's my only issue right now with Rhule and as far as him sticking to his word is the offense hasn't shown me anything that says, okay, at least I understand what they're trying to do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the wide receiver room is thin.
Yep.
IGC. IGC last week. I know talking to folks who were in practice before the season, it looked thin then, and we continue to lose people. So that was a weakness coming in. We've got youth that we can develop. But, when you've got shaky quarterback maybe play and you've got you're saying, oh, we might need to have some contributions from some first-year freshmen. that's a problem. Then you can really focus on the run game. And so hopefully we can take it to a Mac West team here next week and just run between the tackles. And
it will feel a lot nicer if we can get this to a 2-2 start.
Pre Michigan.
I might start panicking if we don't win the next two games, you guys. You guys are going to have to talk me off the ledge a little bit. But because that's the thing. Do you guys know anything about the Huskies?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. We do. They're good. They're not a bad team. Yeah.
Oh, geez. See?
I know they've won in Lincoln before.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Coach Hammack's got a good squad there. They play hard. They fight hard. I really like their speed defensively along the line of scrimmage. They're not the most stout in the center of their defensive line, but they can get you on the perimeter. They fought into a really hard won game against Boston College in their week one matchup, so they've already got a Power 5 win. I say Power 5 lightly for Boston College. They've got a Power 5 win under their belt already for this year. They love to come in and get paid $1 million to play spoiler. I think it's a good game for Nebraska to try and get right on, because it's not a team that's going to just roll over and play dead. Yeah, it's a team that's going to fight hard.
It is 0-0 at the end of the first quarter against the Southern Illinois Salukis, Northern Illinois right now.
Okay.
Okay.
No more in a couple hours.
I'd rather play the Salukis next week, please. What's a Saluki?
That's when you have something stuck in your throat and you breathe in real hard through your nose and then it comes out your mouth. That's a Saluki, I think.
It's also green.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. So. There you go.
So what are you guys going to be looking for next week then? Mike, and are you going to be there?
I will not be at the game in person.
We are going to be there.
Nice. Yeah.
Are you going to come with me?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'll go. I guess I'm going.
I mean, I invited you a while ago, but I have ticket. I'll be there.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't want to miss Rule's first home game. Drew and I were at the Akron Rainout. Mm-hmm. So it's about time. I mean, this could be on us.
I was at Mike Riley's BYU debut.
So I got to see the Hail Mary. Well, yeah. Yeah. That's what, last week we were chatting.
Talking about
remember how the Hail Riley Mary started? We've just had inauspicious starts to our football careers. So,
and I think, honestly, I think that's part of the frustration that a lot of fans have right now, is I think it's really, really hard for the casual fan to say, this is just more of the same. This is following the same blueprint that we've seen from the last several coaches. And I think that's the case that Rule needs to make, is like he needs to start showing people, this is how we're going to do things differently.
Do you think a start by Harburg says that?
Do you think that's
the first step forward, like where he's like, you know what? Hey, he's got a number 7 on his jersey. He's got the single digit. And I know that's a thing we hyped all off season, but he's not playing up to our standard. I mean, do you think that might?
I think Rule might be able to use this ankle to that end and say, well, we gotta give him a rest here. He's not.
Yeah, 100%. I could see that being the storyline, is that Sim's not going to start just because they want to give him some time to rest up for when we play the games that quote unquote matter. You know.
Sure.
Yeah.
So
of course, when you're battling for 500, every game matters.
Right. But right.
I could see Harburg starting next week for sure.
I could too. And he's mobile like Jeff Sims. He's not as fast as him, but we've seen him, pull off runs. And I
think what would be nice about Harburg, Drew, is kind of what you go back to saying, like, I want Rule and Satterfield to show us that offensive identity. I think Harburg almost forces that hand, right? Where it's going to be more of that game where we're going to run some power. We're going to run ISO. We're going to run option. We're going to run the ball and be imposing and physical the way that Nebraska was in this first half. But they're going to carry it out the rest of the game because they don't have a quarterback that can make all the throws that Sims can.
You know, guys, this kind of reminds me of like an Adrian Martinez conversation.
Oh, it totally does.
So dynamic.
And that's why the casual fan is so frustrated is because it's like broken record.
Sims, Martinez, they can make those big runs, but then you lose 36.
Well, I mean, look what happened. What was our first score? Everybody's yelling at Sims to get out of the game because they're frustrated with him, and then he just – zoop
bursts one. But to what you're saying there, like, I feel like you have Harburg in there and you're forced to do a more maybe traditional. You don't have the safety valve of the super dynamic.
I think that they've tried to change a little bit to fit Jeff Sims' skill set. But it almost feels like it's gotten too far away from what they originally set out to do. Even though I know they selected him to come here from Georgia Tech, he was like their guy. And he obviously beat out Casey Thompson and all that, but
Casey was hurt.
Yeah, yeah. You know, there was nothing that Casey could have done.
Man, that's such a frustration.
Situation. Yeah.
Well, what if I heard Casey Thompson's name a few times in the room today.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Where is Casey Thompson?
I think his name was trending at one point too. So
was it?
Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
but that's what I'm saying. Like this is why I tweeted that Husker Twitter was toxic today, and then everybody was like, "What do you expect?" And I was like, "I tweeted that during the first quarter."
He became the magnet for toxicity.
Like people started just piling on. I'm like, "You guys understand? You're responding to this tweet an hour late."
I'll show you toxic. Yeah, I mean, it's tough right now, and I get it, right? Like I get being a fan for so long and not getting the result you want with all the resources, all the money, all the everything that Nebraska has, but like it or not, the game is changing. Mm-hmm. And guys like a Deion Sanders can bring these high profile players who can come out and turn out and show out. It remains to be seen over the long run. Yeah. But it's, do you want a program that matches what Colorado's doing, or do you want to get back to winning the way Nebraska won? Mm-hmm. And it's tough to sell that when it's like, no, we were patient with Bill Callahan, and then we were patient with Pelini, and then we got rid of a coach who won 9 wins.
We've been patient, and we've lost a generation of fans because they haven't seen wins yet.
And not just a generation of fans, a generation of players who don't want to come to Nebraska because, the argument is, are we still relevant? Are we still that blue blood that we were in the 90s? And I think that conversation piece is why fans get so frustrated. Is it's like, no, there is still history and tradition and an ability to win here, but why isn't it happening right now with everything we have at our disposal?
It'll be interesting to see if Sanders continues on this trajectory. How quick is he gone?
I was about to ask. I was going to say the same thing.
And then do all those players come with him to
wherever he goes next? Yeah.
It could be. And in that case, then maybe we're better off because then they're just empty husk again.
Oh, man. With the transfer portal stuff, like a coach can jump ship and just take everybody with him.
Yeah, transfer an entire team.
So in that respect, the slow build is maybe long-term more sustainable. This is how you make yourself feel better after an 0-2 start.
Right.
That is the trajectory we're on, so we got to trust in it. Trust in the guy who's flipped two bad programs already.
Yeah. That's another thing. Yeah.
It's just hard. I mean, it's easy to have a reaction and an overreaction right now. It's a lot harder to kind of stay the course and see past the first two games, especially when the off season is so long and, the work week is so long, even when it's a 4-day week, you're gearing up for this game and it's kind of the highlight of fall for every Husker fan.
But, it was a 4-day week, man. That feels like a year
right?
ago.
It felt like an eternity.
I was like, was that what?
But I still feel confident in Rule because you see flashes of this identity that they want to build and the way they want to go about building it. It's just tough when your offense isn't producing to keep your biggest firepower, which is your defense, at full power. Yeah. So I'm not giving up hope yet. I just want to throw that out there. I guess that's what I'm throwing out on your guys' show. When we record our episode, I'm going to throw the same thing out that I haven't given up hope, unless my kid doesn't get what he wants for his birthday, in which case there goes the hope.
How old's your kid?
He'll be 7. He is 7.
What does he want?
Everything.
Okay. There isn't like a specific, like a Red Ryder.
This was the first year that he went, I'm probably going to get money for my birthday, aren't I? I go, maybe.
Interesting.
Goes, can't wait to go shopping. I go, okay, stop. If anything, that money's going to go in your college fund, and then I'm going to wind up having to buy you another birthday present.
One time I was at Target. I think I was in the toy aisle, and some mom and her kid were there. And the kid was like, I want that. And she's like, well, it's, $5.99. She's like, why? The kid said, why are things always more expensive when it's my money? Man, learned a life lesson today.
Yeah.
What my kid likes to throw out whenever we're shopping is he goes, oh, Dad, that's expensive. I bet you can't afford it.
Oh,
I
go, man.
I go, it's a challenge.
Well, you watch this, buddy. I sure can afford it. Yeah.
Swipe.
Yeah. You're just not going to eat dinner tonight.
That's funny.
Oh, man. Anybody seen any good movies lately?
You're doing what I did last week.
Well,
and, you guys do a movie podcast too?
No, last week we had a whole intro that I ended up cutting out of the episode entirely because I started by asking Justin all these questions that had nothing to do with Nebraska football.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't really feel like talking about the game right now, but actually I do appreciate you guys being on the show today because you guys have, you're keeping the candle burning, which I appreciate. It's helping me personally. Cause like this is the first time that Justin and I are doing a reaction, like right after the game.
Never done this.
We always have 24 hours to just kind of like let the emotions and the dust settle. And then we come with a game plan on Sunday night is usually when we record. So, yeah, this is kind of raw reaction from Mike today.
I was serious. Has anybody seen any good movies lately?
Last time I saw was Barbie in theaters with you.
Yeah,
actually, we did like a double date.
We need to get there. We haven't seen it yet.
Yeah,
it was being my wife and me, not Mike and me.
Right, right. I mean, I'd go to Barbie with you if you want. I haven't seen it yet, so
laugh. Yeah,
we've been watching some movies by Hayao Miyazaki, who's like the Disney of Japan.
Yeah,
we all thought he was retired. Yeah, but he has a movie that's coming out.
Yeah, the Huron and the Boy.
Yeah,
is that
and then I just saw like Guillermo del Toro tweeted yesterday that it's not going to be his last movie. So like he's going to do another one.
Okay.
So we watched Castle in the Sky earlier this week and Porco Rosso.
There you go.
Which I'd recommend both. Castle in the Sky is more fun. Although there are the army shooting at children, so like that's might be scary for little kids. Why are they shooting at the kids?
It's real life.
I mean, if you can get through episode 3, Revenge of the Sith, they can get through anything, right? Like well, all the younglings are taken out in Order 66. I mean,
that is a reason why we've stuck with the original trilogy for our younger kids.
Oh, okay.
One, because, and you haven't been on our podcast before, we care about Star Wars.
We care quite a bit about Star Wars.
That's a good reference, right? Yeah.
I made a Star Wars reference because I know it's good versus evil. Like, that's the extent of my...
Okay. All right, nice. Yeah. Nice. We haven't watched any of the prequels because this is PG-13.
Yeah.
Episode 3.
Yeah, that's fair. My 7-year-old's a big fan of the original trilogy, and he'll watch clips on YouTube of the original trilogy. But like, we started watching, to switch gears and do a different Lucasfilm, we started watching Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Oh.
And that opening sequence Alfred Molina's character gets, you know, kind of blasted by the spikes, my son went, "This is too scary." And I went, "All right, well, we're not going to watch a whole lot of other things." That's too much.
Tap the brakes.
Yeah.
Mike, you like Indiana Jones a little bit.
For as much as I talk about Star Wars, I actually like Indiana Jones more. So,
okay.
Indiana, like,
what's your order?
Last Crusade, that's at the top for me. Okay. Last Crusade, Raiders, believe it or not, Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, Dial of Destiny, and then Temple of Doom.
Wow.
I can't do.
Drew has no idea what we're talking about right now.
I know Raiders of the Lost Ark with the face melt.
Yep.
I remember seeing that as a kid. Like, that's burned into my brain, but that's it. Yeah.
I haven't seen the new one yet.
The new one's good. I think a lot of people just as a reaction to Crystal Skull have been like hyping it up to make it seem like it's better than it is. It's fine. It's an Indiana Jones movie.
Better than the Temple of Doom.
In my opinion, yes. Yeah.
Have you seen the new one?
I have not seen the new one yet.
It's good. I recommend it.
I would just flip Raiders and Last Crusade for myself. I like Raiders a little bit more than Last Crusade, but I mean, you can't beat Sean Connery.
I feel like, the first one was like, I mean, if in terms of like, if you were to ask a film critic, they're going to say Raiders is the best, right? But the first one had a seriousness to it that the second one absolutely did not. And then I think with Last Crusade, they struck the perfect balance between the adventure and the humor. And so that's why I like Last Crusade.
Nice.
We do this at the end of our show sometimes.
We do.
We do this in the middle. We do this at the beginning.
I was going to say, are we done? I don't feel like we're done.
What do you want to talk about?
I don't know. Football.
Smart Alec. What's on your mind?
I don't know. I mean, I guess just like, maybe pull up our season, see what we're facing next. Cause I know that we've got Michigan is the next big game after the two.
Should have this memorized
by now. Dare we even, like you were saying, dare we even call the next two games the easy games or whatever, you know,
they're easier, but that doesn't mean we win them.
Easier games.
I really think people are going to be surprised with Northern Illinois. I think it's going to be a good game.
Mm-hmm.
I think that it's one that Nebraska should be able to handle, especially defensively. Rocky Lombardi hasn't really done anything that's been super impressive. He's just kept his team.
Rocky Lombardi, he was at Michigan State.
Yeah.
Rocky, the snow six. Game?
Yep. 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 He's as old as Scott Frost, and he's still quarterbacking. but he hasn't done anything super impressive at Northern Illinois, but he has kept them in their last game. And like I said, Boston College was kind of unfair to gauge how good Northern Illinois is because Boston College had to wind up putting in their second string quarterback. They fought back down quite a bit, lost in overtime. It was one of those games where, you know, Northern Illinois was in the driver's seat the whole way. I expect Nebraska to be able to handle the kind of attack Northern Illinois wants to bring to the table. Yeah. Louisiana Tech, though, they've got something similar to what Colorado's cooking with. They've got an air raid offense. And so I don't think either of these should be slept on, but Nebraska should be able to handle them if they can kind of put together a serviceable offense. So it is definitely two back-to-back get right games where they have an opportunity to give more confidence going into Big Ten West play.
And then you got Michigan, and now here on the road to 6 wins. So you feel, sounds to me like you're thinking 2 wins.
I feel better than 2 wins.
The next two games are wins, and then
we got Michigan.
And then we got Michigan.
And then we've got
should be Illinois right
at
after
Illinois,
that, right?
Yeah. Hosting Northwestern, hosting Purdue.
That's three teams that do not look great. Well, yeah. On one of them, obviously not a surprise, but the other two have looked significantly worse, I think, than a lot of people expected.
Yeah.
Getting one at home definitely helps in Purdue. But those are all teams that, you know, I feel like we matched up really well in years past. And
I think I said this last week, but remember Scott Frost said winnable, and then the player walked off. It was a winnable game. Winnable games here.
It's almost like we shouldn't be saying anything before games now.
it's a game.
Don't say a word. Just like we're going to put in good. And honestly, that is kind of what Rhule has been saying. Like, he hasn't been promising anything. Just like we're going to be a tough team that fights hard, you know?
Yeah.
And you could even make the argument that in the game today that I didn't see the team give up. No. You know, like even towards the end of the fourth quarter, they were still fighting, even though the writing was kind of on the wall.
They were still fighting. They scored a touchdown late. They brought in all their second string guys, I think, or a lot of second string, mm-hmm. even on defense. And so they were giving guys reps and stuff. But yeah, they got gassed, man. Mm-hmm. Like the defense was just out there too much. And if your first string offense isn't clicking, you know, your backups aren't going to necessarily light the world on fire either.
I was in Colorado for work this weekend, went on a couple runs, and you feel it. Mm-hmm. You feel it to play for a four quarters.
Yeah.
It's hard. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and so it's not surprising that the score started eking further and further away from us at the end there, especially with how many times that we were airing it out. Our guys were literally gassed.
Yeah.
So,
as someone put motor oil into their bodies, they were literally gassed.
Yes. That's what I meant.
That's how I took it.
So let's say super optimistically, Northern Illinois, Louisiana Tech, Illinois, Northwestern, Purdue wins. Super optimistic.
I mean,
okay.
Then we got to find one.
Then we
win.
Just have to either beat Maryland or cover yours, Iowa, right?
Maryland, and we have Michigan State as well.
Yeah.
As a crossover game.
Yeah.
So we got to find a win in the last four there if we can win the five of the next six.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I guess it's probably premature for me to say that Wisconsin's going to be a loss, but I don't know.
We're going to see growth, guys. We are going to see growth. I'm 100% confident we're going to see growth. Mm-hmm. So we had a couple of tough draws up front. As Foppolini said, turns out when you get rid of all of your bad players and bring in all awesome players, like, you can have a decent football team.
Yeah.
So it happened.
And Colorado's no slouch when it came to who Dion hired as coordinators as well. And I think we talked about this on our preseason episode when we talked about, you know, bringing in Charles Kelly, bringing in Sean Lewis. Like, those are two legitimate coordinators. He took a head coach, demoted him down to offensive coordinator. You know, you're not looking at a poorly designed coaching staff. Mm-hmm. You're looking at a well-built coaching staff. Everyone's frustration is around what we saw in the preseason and the size of the players that they posted on social media and all the hype that was going into it. And like, people are like, no, you got to earn it, especially around here, because we're thinking that's the way it goes. But Colorado's doing the same thing that TCU did, the same thing that Michigan State did, the same thing that other teams have done, where they've just flipped their roster, brought in great guys who want to play for a coach who's getting all the attention. And they're having
in half of the commercials in between.
You know. Yeah, that feels like like during a presidential campaign. Like, Rhule should get commercials too, right?
Right.
Like, there should be 50% of those to the opposing coach. I don't know what he would be.
Gatorade.
I was going to say, I see him more like doing like a local car dealership,
yeah,
or something.
Yeah, Acres.
From our house to your house.
Rhule House.
Matt Rhule's house.
Rhule House.
I mean, Runza should get on that train, right? If
yeah.
And
why haven't we seen an NIL thing for Runza? Like,
last year, I know they gave
like a bunch of players, maybe all the players, a little something.
I mean, like, yeah,
they
like,
gave him a number one with Frings and a side of ranch,
which really slowed them down.
I want to see a runs a commercial with some of our players.
I did see a Sims Amigos billboard on the way here.
Okay. Yeah, the only thing that I've seen is the coldest commercials from last year. Nash, like, that's the only thing
that Huttmacher's got his own.
Bear. Okay. But Runza makes sense. Like running back. Like it's built into Runza, runs the ball. Like it's right there.
Yeah.
It
yeah.
seems so that's simple. Funny. But
Runza makes it all better.
I love Runza.
Yeah. Oh, man. Well,
you know who also makes really good food is the Herdat Sports Bar.
How about that?
Look at that plug.
Yeah.
Actually, I will say.
We got cheers from the audience.
Even though we're, you know, we're here, we're at the Herdat Sports Bar, we're recording and everything like that. Whenever I talk to family about the Herdat partnership that we have through our podcast and through your podcast as well, and everyone says, you know, that Herdat, that formerly Hail Varsity, their food's been fantastic every single time. So, you know, that's not a shameless plug. That's just legitimately what it is. And when folks came out for our recording too, there was a lot of high praise for the food, the service staff, and the way that folks take care of us here.
Yeah.
I know that sounds like a commercial, but hey, might as well talk about that because it's a lot more fun to talk about.
All the family here.
They're out there doing their job.
They are.
Yeah.
Any questions from the audience?
I did tweet
Crickets
for any questions on Twitter, but I don't know if we got any serious answers. So I said, since this will be our first ever reaction episode right after a game, any questions or topics you'd like us to discuss today? Our friend Cody Villarreal asked, I think Deion Sanders was an NFL player at one point. Might be cool to dig up some information on him since no one else has covered it. So there's
never
that.
Heard of him.
And then somebody asked us if we should fire Satterfield. So I don't think that we need to really talk too much about those questions that were coming.
Yeah. Nobody asked you about your opinions on Raiders of the Lost Ark.
They know where we stand.
I could do an entire season and talk about Raiders of the Lost Ark.
That's funny. So Mike is a part of multiple podcasts, film related podcasts.
Well, right. I do have another podcast that is a Star Wars podcast.
You were involved with the Ernest P. Worrell?
I wasn't involved in that. I was just a fan. So
okay.
not to get too deep into
it. Do you guys know Ernest P. Worrell?
No. Oh, man.
Okay.
Look him up. There were these series of movies that were produced by Disney under the Touchstone Pictures label back in the late 80s, early 90s. They were based on a character from TV commercials who somehow became.
Are you talking about like
huge.
Ernest Goes to Camp?
Yes.
I know who Ernest is.
Okay.
So
okay.
There's these guys who, they got a hold of from the original writers of these films binders full of rejected scripts that they, because like they had a deal where they had to pitch X number of movies to Disney every month. And then they'd be like, keep working on that one, throw this one away. And so they literally had, I think, like 50 movie scripts. And so over the course of 3 years, they just read through all of the scripts on their podcast. And so it's been a fun adventure listening to them talk through.
Sounds like a blast.
Yeah.
Is there good stuff in there? Or are you like, I get why they...
I mean, a lot of it's awful.
Yeah.
A lot of it's awful.
Jim Varney, is that?
Jim Varney. Yeah.
Varney, okay. Yeah.
But that's the thing is that the people who wrote it said, well, we had to pitch three movies, you know, and so what we would do is we'd have the one that we really like, and then we would intentionally write a couple of duds along with it. And so some of them are just absurd. Yeah. So
there was a Halloween Ernest movie that I remember being particularly kind of scary.
Ernest like, Scared Stupid.
Yeah. That's my favorite.
That one legitimately like had some good thrills in it. I remember being like there were like trolls or goblins or something like that. That was going that way. Yeah.
Fun fact, have you ever seen the movie Killer Clowns from Outer Space?
I have not seen it, but I am aware of it.
The clowns from Killer Clowns from Outer Space were reused and turned into trolls for Ernest Scared Stupid.
Makes sense.
So
I'm afraid of both clowns and outer space. So I want to go back to not, believe me, I would love to sit here and talk about movies.
You're good.
Drew can attest to this, that he threw a trivia question my way about movies and I went off on a tangent.
Like halfway, and then that's all we talked about after that.
I want to talk about the Marcus Satterfield thing.
Yeah, no, that's a good, yeah, thank you.
Okay, so maybe we will talk about it.
Okay. We want to talk back to football.
Before you do, can I say, do you think that his playbook is like two bad plays and then one good play? So we see the good play and we forget about, you know, make the other two look
very funny. Yeah. That's a good callback strategy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh man.
Sorry to interrupt.
You'll go far, young man.
I have a couple of thoughts. my first thought is they need to quit cutting to Marcus Satterfield when he's doing something that makes him look like a doofus. Because last week they cut to him. We talked about this on our podcast when the wind was blowing and his playbook was everywhere. This week they cut to him when he's got a big loogie that he's trying to get out of his throat and he's like coughing and hacking on the sidelines. It's not fair to Marcus Satterfield. The third thing I want to say about, or maybe that's the second thing, I don't know, is I really liked the motion that they were putting on Colorado offensively. I didn't hate the game plan early on of trying to make Colorado uncomfortable and trying to figure out, is this a pass play? Is this a run play? The execution was more the issue than the actual play calling I felt early on. I felt in the second half of the game when we were like, let's run the ball. Let's take over control of this game. Let's impose our will. Let's do the things that we've talked about all offseason. That's when it felt like we were getting away from things. Matt Rhule said early on when he was talking to these players about like, hey, coach, we want to win right now. Let's play the seniors. Let's play the guys. Rhule said it's going to come down to the players. It's going to come down to our guys executing. And our guys didn't execute. So I don't put the blame in the first half on how those turnovers went on what Satterfield was calling, because I think it was actually a sound strategy to keep Colorado uneven on either side of the field.
25 minutes into the game, I mean, we were even.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and nothing that Nebraska was doing on offense wasn't really working. Guys were dropping the ball.
Yeah,
Jeff Sims had issues controlling the ball. There was an interception. The handoff wasn't great to Irvin. Like, the issues that took place were not because of the play calling. And so I know people are going to sit there and go, we need to get rid of Satterfield, because it's easy to put that blame and that onus somewhere. And in the second half, I would say I was getting frustrated myself too. Where I was like, run the ball, you know, RTDB, right? Run that ball.
Yeah.
But in that first half, I didn't really hate the way Nebraska was trying to attack Colorado and keep themselves in the game. It was more a player execution issue. And so I just want to throw that out there. I know this entire conversation, I'd be like, no, I'm the apologist, right? Rule's defendable. Satterfield's defendable. Tony White's defendable. They're all defendable. But early on in that game, I really kind of liked the way that we were keeping ourselves in the game.
I think the problem is that Satterfield is defendable. I think we saw that Colorado did a really, really great job of it.
It's very good.
It's very good.
This is the kind of wit you can expect.
All of our listeners should listen to these guys too.
It's how I handle the pain. Is just sarcasm.
Over an hour and a half that we typically tend to go,
They are longer shows. What's the if I were to pick up your episode and like skip through, where should I stop on average? Like, where's the best, like,
right at the
through?
End? Just right at the end. You just need the last 30 seconds.
We're like a Mr. Beast YouTube video. We cut off right when it's over. I mean, we don't do any extra. There is no fat on our 2-hour recordings.
Lean 2 hours.
Oh, yeah, very, very, very lean. Yeah.
All right.
Well, apparently for a Husker game, you can tune it out when there's 1 second left on the board. So
yeah, what was going on there?
I don't know. What the heck was that?
I mean, the fans started coming on, so they said, okay.
Yeah, it just kind of felt like the two coaches were like, oh, okay, we'll just call it.
If I'm Matt Rhule, I say we need to snap that ball. Mm-hmm. And so technically, I'm going to assume Colorado forfeited.
Oh.
So
we'll take it.
Yeah, like, where's that show on the stat line?
Yeah.
Colorado gave up.
Yeah, they did. They didn't have all 10 toes in the fight.
Yeah. I do think that that's funny. I do, you know, Satterfield, I feel like was maybe collectively viewed as maybe the weaker hire in the offseason. And so if there's been any suspicion as to where things might struggle, I think that's where it's been. So it's, you know, coming off the first two games, that is not going to abate. And we will see. We'll see what happens. I mean, nothing's going to happen to him mid two games in.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And they did score 14 points. And we had bad field position. I'd be curious to see the stat on that. I could find it, but this is live, so I can't just pause and then Mike and then
Justin used to have a note card that he'd have for each episode that he had prepared over the last.
If we ask everyone to be real quiet, you can look it up and then you don't have like a weird audio, right?
But you'd hear this.
Oh.
You guys talk.
Gotta love it when you're listening to a podcast and you can tell that, like, once one guy starts talking, the other guy's just seriously typing in the background. So
we don't talk to each other. We talk at each other while the other person.
Yeah,
looks up stats,
that's actually how Drew wrote his master's dissertation, though. It was like on our podcast. So you just hear him furiously typing. That's funny. That's
impressive.
Yeah. That's how he got his doctorate.
I was going to have a doctorate. Wow.
So how many years have you guys been at it?
This is our third season.
Third season. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
The collective pain is 3 years worth. So that's great for you guys.
Sure.
Nine years of collective.
I would say after almost 300 episodes, that's a.
We started year one of Riley. So.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's just nice to have you with, great time. With us here. I appreciate the positivity.
At that time, it was a fresh new, a new beginning for Husker football.
Another one.
Except I think our very first episode, you and I discussed about how when they announced the Riley hire, we were both like, Mike, who?
Who's
this guy?
Did you talk yourselves into him, though? Because I know I did. I was like, who the hell is this guy? But then I went and looked. And I was like, well, maybe.
That's what we did for about, I'd say, the first 7 years is we talked ourselves into things. And I feel like the last 2 years we've tried harder to not do that.
Yeah, I would say even with Frost, we really doubled down on those first few seasons with Frost just because we had the
attitude.
There's
no reason not to.
Yeah, we had the attitude of, if it's not Frost, who's it going to be at this point? You know? And here we are.
Yeah.
How many breweries have you guys visited as your show?
Visited? Let's see.
Okay, probably interacted with.
I think we're approaching somewhere around the 40-ish mark as far as Nebraska breweries. And then every travel game, we do a sportsman sip where we raise a glass from a brewery that Nebraska's traveled to.
Cool.
So we've covered quite a few. We've been fortunate enough to sit down with a lot of breweries too and get some good conversations in. Like we said kind of at the top, is we're big fans of supporting small business and the folks that make beers are artists, they're craftsmen, they're tradesmen, they're kind of everything.
Entrepreneurs.
Yeah.
Very involved in their communities too, and small towns across Nebraska.
So we have a huge respect for that. The anecdote that we share, which is how the conversation actually went, is I called Drew, I think in 2020, and I said, hey, I'd like to start a Nebraska football podcast. And he was like, I am 0% interested in talking about Nebraska football. I said, but every episode, we're going to cover a different Nebraska brewery. And he goes, I'm 100% interested in that.
Yeah.
So we've been real fortunate. And with the partnership of the Nebraska Craft Brewers Guild, they've helped us kind of get into some doors. We've been part of some Nebraska beer festivals. But
cool. It's
just about elevating and celebrating and finding new things to excite us about the beer industry. And so,
how many breweries are there in Nebraska? Breweries.
60.
There's it's in the 60s. I was 64, 65.
So okay. Two thirds.
Yeah.
Got a good chunk of them.
Professionally, two thirds we've gotten through. Personally, it's probably more.
You're starting to laugh yourself on tour around again.
Yeah. We've hit the same breweries a couple of times because they're always doing new stuff. And
sure.
Right. Could always use the support and the reminder that, hey, don't forget about these guys. So.
But we have gone tip to tail. I mean, we have gone all the way out to Alliance and Scotts Bluff to get the breweries that are out there.
Physically.
That's the only way to go out there and get them.
A lot of miles.
You can get Flyover Brewing Company out of Scotts Bluff. You can get locally in Omaha and in Lincoln. But when it comes to 719 in Alliance, you have to go there to get them. And then there is it Second Cousin in Ogallala is a new brewery that just opened up. So that's now the furthest west. So hopefully Husker fans coming back make some stops and pick them up and are able to enjoy them. But again, it really is just about supporting small business and another way that we can kind of celebrate ourselves. We think Nebraska can go pound for pound with the craft beer that's out there. There's some brewers. If you're a fan of, X brewery in Oregon or California or wherever, there's some Nebraska brewers who are doing the same great stuff.
Awesome.
So this is a non-drinker asking you this question, so do what you will with it. But what's the goofiest name that you've come across for a beer?
Oh, man, we talked about one in our last episode called Uncle Dunkle, which isn't an actual beer that we've had, but
it is a real beer name.
Uncle Dunkle is out there. Yeah. gosh, that's a good question. We've talked to brewers about it because they're just constantly compiling.
Right. Right.
I think Cosmic Eye is really good with naming their beers. They've got Dinosaur Dog and Your Friend Death and stuff like that.
They sound like band names.
They do. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's one of the things that every time we talk to a brewer, they're always like, if you have any ideas, please share them because we are so exhausted. We were out.
AI.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Beer names.
We were out at Salt Mine City, and they do everything trucker related. And so we were able to pitch some beer ideas to them about elephant rennen is a German word for when two semis are side by side on the interstate. You can't get around them. We're like, you got to name a stout that. And they're like, we're taking that.
That's funny.
We were fortunate enough to brew a beer with Divots out of Norfolk. We called the Triple Option. We shared that with Justin. He came out to our event, actually. That's when we first met.
Cool.
Justin came to our beer launch.
Was that last fall or when was that?
That was last, like, June, July?
Yeah, last summer. Okay, last great.
But we've also found, right, too, and one of the things that we've tried to highlight, Mike, is that there's a lot of options for non-drinkers, too, at craft brewers.
Okay.
A lot of NAs that are going on. That's become a huge thing with, like, athletic brewing, a lot of sodas that are being made, a lot of ways to incorporate, not just, you don't have to come and drink. Mm-hmm. There's just places that you can come and join community.
Sure.
And that's one of the things that we love about breweries, too, is that it's not just about the beer.
Right.
It's about community.
That's awesome. Yeah.
And so there's a lot of options there, too. A lot of brewers are getting into that game where folks can have NAs, root beers, different types of alcohol-less seltzers that give you the drinking experience without having to drink, but you still get the community aspect. Yeah,
sure. What's the concept of, like, the third space where you've got, like, your home, and then you've got, like, the workspace, and there's, like, the third spaces where people can gather. And traditionally you've had community centers, churches, libraries, but, you know, the local pub or brewery.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Spot. You're talking about community, people coming together.
Yeah. I could see it. Yeah. We bring our kids all the time to different breweries, and they like the food, the root beer, the lemonades and
they
stuff like that. They just pound them, just crank up the bill, but they have a good time.
Put it on dad's tab. Yeah.
Stumbling their way home, you know.
That's how they always are, though.
That's pretty typical, little ones. A lot of breweries just really do create a great family environment that's welcoming of everyone. So,
I can think of, like, Heavy Brewing out of Gretna is one that's a huge family environment. They've got cornhole, they've got arcade games, they've got skee ball, they've got, you know, the football games on the TV, baseball, you name it. Great pizza. You mentioned Cosmic Eye. They've got a huge kind of community hall that feels like a Viking hall. Like, you'd sit down at Valhalla and you have these big wood tables.
They've got a separate kids room there too.
Yeah. So there's, for you guys in Lincoln, there's an awesome spot. For Omaha, there's an awesome spot. I mean, there's a great place everywhere. And then you find places like Casual Pint, where, Mike, you'd probably clean up on trivia. You know, you can show up at a place like that. They've got great food. They've got some NA options, and they've got nights where, you know, guys like you can run the gambit, win a new t-shirt and some cool stuff like that. Yeah.
Speaking of kids, I've got a couple kids in the
audience. Yeah, I've been watching them.
Do you guys want to say anything into the mic?
Their interest level has been waning.
Oh, I see a yes.
Come on up.
Come here. Oh,
we got it.
We got both.
Brave ones.
Watch out for cords.
So, Justin, does Ernest know about Ernest yet? I know that.
No, we haven't yet.
Okay. All right. I won't spoil that.
What do you guys want to talk about? What did you think of the game? You're talking to the mic. Good? Did you have a favorite play today?
I liked it when we did touchdowns.
Yep.
That's always the best.
Good answer. Me too. What about you, Lenora?
The really big catch.
Yeah, those are exciting.
Explosive plays.
Why do you guys like Nebraska football?
Because it's fun to play.
Yeah. What about you, Lenora?
Because they run a lot.
Yeah. You guys like running? Yeah. You like playing?
I play soccer.
Oh, yeah. So do you. What other sports do you play?
Baseball and basketball.
What about you?
Volleyball, softball, and basketball.
Okay. Wow. Cool. Well, anything else you want to say? How about Go Big Red?
Go Big Red. Go Big Red.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.
Audience participation.
So I just want to say thank you for calling it cornhole and not bags.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, isn't that what it's called?
That's cornhole.
I've had people insisting that it's bags recently, and I'm like, it's cornhole. Come on.
It's cornhole.
I'm gonna stick with it's 100% cornhole.
Yeah. If you said bags, I wouldn't even know what you were talking about.
They got bags.
Everybody's got bags.
You know, they're just loaded with sacks. Tons of bags.
This game was loaded with sacks today, you guys.
Both sides of the ball.
Big Mac sacks.
Colorado did a decent job of putting pressure on when pressure needed to be applied. One of the things we talked about in our preview episode on Colorado was that I think Charles Kelly's, if this staff sticks around, Colorado could have a pretty salty defense. You know, you look at the stats that he threw out at FSU when he was the head coordinator, and the work he did at Alabama when he was, you know, chiming in there as well. They're a sub 20 points per game defense. And if they can continue to recruit and develop, especially going into a place like the Big 12 in future seasons, I think that they could have a pretty salty defense. Whether or not you have generational players like Shador Sanders and Travis Hunter and the guys that they brought in, you know, remains to be seen. It's still a long season, but the way they've played through two games, you know, Colorado definitely has their stars. I don't know that the offense stays that way with what Sean Lewis is throwing out there offensively. It's nothing super impressive. Nebraska exposed a whole lot. That's another positive.
Yeah.
Hey, right. Nebraska definitely showed a way to victory. They just didn't take that direction, but I do think Colorado could,
out there helping others. Yeah.
Yeah, could ultimately develop into a pretty decent defense down the road as Kelly's calls start to become more second nature.
Well, as we're as we often say, we wish them all the best at this point after beating us.
Oh, I don't.
I hope they run the table.
2-10, baby. 2-10.
Yeah, not to cut you off, interrupt, and leave it on a tower. I hope Colorado just has a real rough.
You just want them to crash and burn.
Hopefully, everybody looks at the tape and sees where we exposed them, and can
nobody's going to look at them at the end of the year if they're like 11-1 and be like, oh man, that Nebraska team. We thought pretty bad things about them, but now, you know,
yeah, good
I guess
point.
They weren't. So, yeah.
Did you see the headline somewhere that was like America's team or something about Colorado?
Yeah, that's why I wanted to stop. The hype and the way that guys like just the analysts are just drooling.
Something
over.
Very used car salesman about the whole production.
Yeah, it just feels gross to me. And I don't like if it's successful, great, you know, good for Dion. Like, everybody's going to have their own way of doing things. And I don't push back against that. It just doesn't jive with me and what I like, you know, it's pure opinion, but yeah, it just feels kind of,
I think you speak for most of our fan base.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I
yeah.
Like Justin
that's a
has,
general impression I've gotten, but yeah.
Justin's been long ringing the bell of like the purity of college football has been on the decline over the last decade or so with a lot of the rule changes and just the direction with NIL and
all
of that.
Old man yells at clouds.
You know, and with them bringing in so many people from the transfer portal, it's just a...
It's semi-pro.
Yeah
yep. It is.
Yep. So...
Do you feel like the NIL is difficult right now because it is so kind of unclear and the transfer portal feels very like it feels very cloudy and that anyone can kind of use it however they choose as opposed to there being kind of set rules? Like, is that part of it? Because I feel like if there was a governing body, not counting the NCAA, that actually like cared and did the hard work to really lay out what the ground rules are and things of that nature, instead of taking advantage of situations like this where every commercial has to do with Deion Sanders and every pregame has to do with Deion Sanders and everyone covering has to do with Deion. Like, do you feel like that's part of it where that frustration lies, that there's just no boundaries being set? Because I don't mind operating within boundaries and trying to like
sure.
go on that front.
A little standardization would be nice.
Yeah.
I don't want to say level playing field, because honestly, this is an area where we could have a competitive advantage.
Yeah.
So I'm all about most of those things. Yeah, just, I don't know. I don't have good form thoughts at this point.
I just feel like it's the Wild West right now.
Yeah,
like,
no, that's for
it
sure.
It feels icky.
It feels icky.
Yeah.
It's, yeah. So anyway.
Used to be you commit to a school and you're there the whole time. And
back in my day, you suffered.
Yeah.
You suffered for your craft. I think we can call it, guys. What do you
yeah.
think?
You think so?
Yep. I think if someone sticks through this, if you could pop into this podcast and hear some great stuff along the way, and you could skip through some other stuff, and there's lots of good nuggets. You need to keep listening the whole time, though.
Yeah.
I got another 6 hours in the tank. Like, I'm ready.
Well, you should record tomorrow.
That'll be tomorrow.
Save it.
Yeah.
You're going to hear all
we ever
it.
Do that? Yeah. You ever do that? When we'll start talking before we hit record and we're like, wait. Just
yeah, don't say that.
Save that for when
I
we're
can't
actually
react
talking.
Genuinely.
We do a lot of
do
that.
Do we do that?
A little bit of like, you know, we'll talk about it. We'll talk about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, we say that a lot. We'll talk about it.
We'll talk about it.
And then we never talk about it.
Should have taken notes.
Yeah.
All right.
Awesome.
Cool. Well, I think we'd like to end things with a Go Big Red.
Yeah, absolutely.
Go Big Red.
Go Big Red.
Thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks so much for having us.
We really appreciate it.
Where can our listeners find you guys?
Easiest place, wannabewalkons.com. Click on the podcast. We have the stream right on there, plus all the different links if you'd like to listen to it on Spotify, Apple, wherever you like to go.
Awesome. You guys got a TikTok?
No. No, I'm 30. No, are we 35, so I do not have a TikTok.
All right. Cool. Check them out if you're not listening already. I'm talking into the camera even though we don't usually do that, but appreciate you guys coming out and made this a lot more fun for us.
Yeah.
Well, thank you guys. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks. Go Big Red.
Go Big Red.
A Herd at Sports Network production.